Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesareth, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Peter Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The waters were rough and choppy. The boat rolled and bobbed up and down. It was a rough ride, and it was making us all feel a bit queasy. My son Philip was about 8 years old and doing his best to hold up bravely. Stephen was about 3, and he went below deck feeling very sick. Later he said, "I don't ever want to go on that ship again." The ship was my father-in-law's 24-foot fishing boat, and this was our fishing adventure on Lake Michigan. I'm not a fisherman, having only gone a few times in my life, but Jim, my father-in-law, used to fish every week. That day, it was a great trip. The water was a little rough, but Jim got everything ready. He set the fishing lures, fixed the poles, checked the sonar for fish, piloted the boat as we trolled through the waters. And when we got one on the line, he'd allow Philip or Stephen and I to pull it in. To this day, we have a picture on our refrigerator taken after we got home. It shows my sons, Philip and Stephen, and I holding two enormous salmon that we caught on Lake Michigan. The salmon are just a few inches shy of being as big as 3-year-old Stephen. The picture testifies that we had a very successful fishing expedition that day. But that wasn't my first time in my father-in-law's boat. Shortly after it was purchased, he took Joy and my mother-in-law for a boat ride on the lake. And I can remember my mother-in-law yelling, "Jim, slow down, the waves are too big." And on that occasion, he piloted us south on smoother waters, and we went to a lakefront community of Saugatuck, where there are restaurants and shops right on the docks. And you can dock your boat there and go have dinner and look in the art galleries. It's a lot of fun. It was a pleasure cruise. That day. We have a boating story in the gospel reading this morning as well. It starts with Jesus getting into the boat to push off from shore. so that the great crowd can see and hear him. But then the carpenter does something unexpected. He asks the fisherman to take him out on the lake for a fishing expedition. Simon Peter, the professional fisherman, assures the carpenter that this is not the proper time to catch fish. He says, "We've been fishing all night and haven't caught a thing. There are no fish to be caught here today," Peter is telling him. Yet Peter says, "Because you say so, I will let down the nets." And suddenly, there are fish getting caught in the net, and more fish, and so many fish that the net is starting to break because it can't hold all the fish. So they signal to their partners in the other boat to come, and they start putting some of the fish into that boat, and both boats are filled to the brim with fish on the verge of sinking. What started out as the least likely day to catch anything turned into the catch of a lifetime for these fishermen because they followed the directions of the carpenter. And Peter is overwhelmed and afraid. And Jesus, who I think at this point must be smiling and laughing, says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." Or as it says in another gospel, Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Peter, the professional fisherman, is being called to join Jesus in the greatest fishing expedition of all time. Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, invites common, ordinary fishermen to join his mission in calling men and women to draw near to God. Throughout history, God has been using what can be seen as an inefficient method, using imperfect, ordinary people to reach others for God. Chances are God used another person or persons to reach you. Think about it. Why are you here this morning? I would guess that 95% or more of you are here because of the influence of someone in your life. Was it a family member? A friend? Perhaps a combination of people helped bring you to faith in Christ and here to St. Luke's. God uses people to reach people still. And the call this morning is to pay it forward. Have you thought about this lately? The church is meant to be a fishing expedition in the world. Jesus is calling his followers to be fishers of people. You will remember that mission is central to Jesus' call upon his followers, time and again in Scripture. In the Sermon on the Mount, he tells his disciples, "You are the light of the world, like a city built on a hill, shining out at night for all around to see." Jesus sent out the 12 to proclaim the good news about him. On another occasion, he sent out 70 disciples. Jesus commissions his followers before going up into heaven in Matthew 28 when he says, "Go, make disciples of all nations." And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus says that the sign of the coming of the Holy Spirit is that his disciples will receive power and will be his witnesses. It's a key part of what it means to follow Christ, becoming a fisherman, letting down the nets of our lives to reach people for Christ. Christianity is about a relationship with God in which we seek to be transformed, becoming more like him. And our God is a God who goes fishing for people. The God that we are becoming like is a God who leaves the 99 sheep to search for the one that is lost. God is the God who searches for the lost coin. God is the God who time and again forgave his people though they disobeyed him and strayed from him, sending prophet after prophet to call them home. God is the loving Father who runs to welcome home the prodigal son. God's love is relentless. His love reaches out and searches the world over, pursuing those in darkness, those who are lost, those who are broken, those who are living through the hell of self-centered self-worship. God is the God who wants you and I and every person on earth to come to know him, to trust him, to love him, and to know that we are loved by him. So relentless is our God that he's been called the Hound of Heaven. Have you experienced this in your own life? Before you ever came to faith, before you really knew God, before you came to worship him, can you not see that God was there all along, pursuing you, calling you, sending you clues, subtle messages, sending you people to invite you, to love you, to draw you in? He has pursued us. And thanks be to God, he's captured us with his love. If his spirit has caught you and fills your soul, then you are in the boat. And the boat you're in is a fishing boat. God invites those in the boat to join him in his mission to seek the lost in this world. Sometimes I think that we Christians in the world today, and especially we Episcopalians, forget this. We forget that we're to be reaching out with the love of God as if on a fishing expedition for people. We act as if the church instead is meant to be a pleasure cruise. We're not called to merely soak up all the blessings of life in Christ for ourselves. Growing spiritually means becoming like God, which means reaching out. Not merely growing our own sense of internal peace. Now, I hope that you will experience love, joy, and peace, and personal fulfillment in being a part of St. Luke's. Those are good things. But let us not forget that we are called to reach out to this lost world. Let us not approach our common life together as if it's only about satisfying ourselves, and approach church like it's only about being on a pleasure cruise. Don't get me wrong, God wants to bless us abundantly, but the fullness of that blessing, the fullness of it, doesn't come until we get to heaven. And God hasn't taken us to heaven yet. Why are you still on this earth? Have you ever thought about this? Why doesn't God suddenly teleport us to heaven when we have faith in him? We could worship him much better there. We could experience love, joy, and peace much better there. Why are we still here? Is it not in part to be Jesus' body in the world? His arms of love, his voice, his feet, his hands. We are to be the body of Christ. We're to be Jesus to the world. And what did Jesus do when he walked this earth? He shared God's love and called people to come to God. We, as his body, are called to do the same. In short, our primary purpose for still being on this earth is to be part of Jesus' fishing expedition. Now I know, we Episcopalians often struggle with this. We are fine with setting an example with how we live our lives, but actually speaking to others about Jesus in conversation, that's a different matter entirely. We have seen so many bad examples of this. Televangelists, street and subway evangelists, and those weird, annoying evangelizing relatives. But I must remind you today that such bad examples don't mean that we should give up the enterprise altogether. No, from the bad examples, we have learned. We've learned how not to do this. We know that. We won't be like that. Even we Episcopalians are called to join God in his mission. You can see that in four ways: in our diocese, in the national church, in the worldwide Anglican Communion, and in our prayer book. Just go to any diocesan event and listen to our bishop or the canon for congregational development, Rob Droste, and you'll hear them talking about joining God in the work he is doing in the world. Listen to our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, and you'll hear him calling us to do the same by being the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement. And consider this statement by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. He said there are two simple sentences about the church. First, the church exists to worship God and Jesus Christ. Second, the church exists to make new disciples of Jesus Christ. Everything else is decoration. Some of it may be very nice, useful, and wonderful decoration, but it's decoration. And then there's the clear call in the prayer book at every baptismal service, at every Easter vigil. In the baptismal covenant, we vow, you have vowed to proclaim by word and by example the good news of God in Christ. We have vowed to proclaim the good news of Jesus by word. Now you might be saying, I don't know how to do this. Or you might be saying the non-Christian people around me would never be interested in talking about faith. How easy it is for us to say, just like Peter, Lord, there are no fish to be caught here today. But can we find the courage to obey Jesus' command and let down the nets of our lives for a catch? As we struggle to do this, we can find inspiration in the fishing metaphor that Jesus uses. What do you do when you go fishing? Do you find a fish and pound it on the head until you've bludgeoned it? No, you put out bait. You see if the fish takes the bait. If it does, then you pull it in. Likewise, in our lives, we're not called to bludgeon people with the Bible or our faith statements. We're called to entice them, to mention something, to put out some bait and see if they're interested. We're simply called to be open about our faith. I think as Episcopalians, if we could really get a hold of this, we could be exceptionally good at sharing our faith. Alpha USA commissioned a research study on evangelism that was released at the conference I attended last week. Listen to four of the top six things that non-Christians in the USA are looking for when they have a conversation with faith with a Christian, and then how few Christians they know that fit that description. 62% said they want a Christian who listens without judgment, but only 34% know a Christian like that. 50% said they want a conversation with a Christian who will not force a conclusion, but only 26% know a Christian like that. 29% want Christians who will demonstrate an interest in their life story, but only 17% know a Christian interested in their life story. 27% want conversations with Christians who are good at asking questions, but only 16% know such a Christian. Listens without judgment, does not force a conclusion, interested in their lives, good at asking questions. Doesn't that sound like Episcopalians? That's us. I see that in all of you. Non-Christians around want what you have. Now, I realize that fishing in the first century didn't involve bait, but it's similar. You put down your nets for a catch and see if any fish will show up. We need to be putting down the nets of our lives. So here's the challenging question I have for you. Are you putting out the bait with non-Christians around you? Are you letting down your nets? The simple truth about fishing is that if you keep the nets in the boat and the fishing lures in the tackle box, you're not going to catch anything. Furthermore, do you have non-Christian friends? We need to be sailing through the waters of this world. You won't catch any fish if your boat stays at the dock. Who in your life does not know Jesus Christ? Those same people are the ones God is pursuing even at this moment. Will you join him in that mission? Just as Jesus asked Simon Peter 2,000 years ago, so he asks you and I to let down our nets for a catch. All that Jesus is really asking is to let people see who we are, to be real, genuine, and authentic. Don't hide your light under a bushel basket. If God is truly a part of your life, don't put on a mask to hide who you truly are. If it's good news for you, share it. The amazing truth this morning is that God made the adventurous voyage to come down from heaven into the turbulent waters of our world because he loves you so much. And he calls you to be like him. Might the waters upon which we sail in our day be like those on the Sea of Gennesaret. Might it seem to us that we've been fishing so long and haven't caught anything. Might we too be saying to Jesus, Lord, there aren't any fish here to catch today, when all we need to do is heed the call of the carpenter and let down our nets and discover, as Peter did that day, the catch of a lifetime. To him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen.
Let us rise and affirm.